Hello and welcome mga batch. It's me, your gay detective, Martin Rules, and welcome back to my channel. And you know what motherfucking time it is? It's Philippine true crime stories. Kumusta kayo lahat? I hope you guys, girls, and my non-binary friends are safe and healthy. Kung bago kayo sa aking channel, hello, my name is Martin, and tuwing Huwebes, gumagawa ako ng video tungkol sa totoong krimen o misteryo na nangyari sa Pilipinas habang nagme-makeup. Kaya naman, kung interesado ka sa ganitong klaseng content, I highly suggest na mag-subscribe ka na sa aking channel because why the fuck not? Thank you! Huwag mo rin kalimutan na i-click yung bell button para makalampag ka pag meron tayong bagong uploads. And lastly, if you have any question tungkol sa topic natin for today or sa mga makeup na i-apply ko, huwag kayo mahiya na magtanong sa comment section below. Before we start, gusto ko munang pasalamatan ng aking Sesang JC Favilou for giving me this very vintage nightgown. Oo, naisipan niya pa talagang isingit yung pang-true crime outfit ko nung pumunta siya sa Baguio. Kaya naman, shoutout to you, Sesa. And maraming salamat. Sobrang na-appreciate ko to. Si JC, kung hindi yun na itatanong, ay isa ring YouTuber. Kaya naman, go subscribe to his channel. Ilalagay ko na lang yung link sa description box below. Thank you, Sesa May. Okay, so last week, pinag-usapan natin yung case ng Gonzalez family. And today naman, we are going to talk about Flor Contemplacion, aka MAGA Contemplacion case. By the way, shout out sa inyo, yes, sa'yo na nag-recommend itong case na to. Hindi ko na kayo maisa-isa kasi ang daming nag-recommend nito. So, shout out sa inyo, you know who you are. Kaya kung ikaw ay may nalalamang mga true crime or mystery na nangyari sa Pilipinas or mga Filipino na nasa ibang bansa, i-recommend mo lang yan sa comment section below at pag-uusapan natin yan sa mga susunod na episodes. Okay, this case ay katulad nung last episode natin na yung setting ay nangyari sa ibang bansa at itong story na to particularly ay talaga namang nakapagpakilabot sa akin at traumatized nung bata ako, lalo na nung napanood ko yung movie na ginanapan ni legendary icon Nora Honor, yes. Yung kilabot ko, ganun na lang mga zay. And lalo na nung nalaman ko nga na true to life story itong kwento na ito. So, my God. And trinay ko siyang i-erase sa memory ko. Ewan ko, may something nung mga movies nung 90s na talagang tumatatak sa pagkabata mo, no? And it's either traumatizes you or brings a happy memories nung childhood mo, right? Pero dahil nga sa pangangalampag nyo, oo, and as a motherfucking detective, sabay-sabay nating ukatin at alamin yung detalye sa controversial case na ito. Kaya naman, let's STFU and proceed to the story. Babala, ang mga susunod na imahe, istorya, at description ay maaaring makapagdulot ng takot. Huwag magpatuloy kung kinakailangan. So, the story began noong May 4, 1991, kung saan si Delia Mamaril Maga, isang domestic worker na pinanganak noong October 6, 1955 sa Tarlac, was found strangled to death sa bahay nung pinagtatrabahuhan niya sa Singapore. Also, a 4-year-old boy named Nicholas Wang na inaalagaan ni Delia was discovered drowned in a pail of water. That same day, si Flor Contemplacion was arrested in her employer's house, held in custody, tried, and eventually executed 4 years later. Sobrang laki ng kaso na ito, and sabi ko nga earlier, controversial. And actually, nagkaroon pa ng diplomatic tension between the Philippines and Singapore na pag-uusapan natin later. Anyway, paano ba nadawit itong si Flor Contemplacion, right? Same question din nung narinig ko to or napanood ko. And eventually, nung nabasa ko yung case na to. Kaya naman, let's do a little background sa kanya. Si Flor Contemplacion ay isa ring domestic worker katulad ni Delia. Ipinanganak siya sa San Pablo, Laguna noong January 7, 1953. Napangasawa niya si Efren Contemplacion at nagkaroon sila ng 4 na anak na si Sandrix Russell at yung kambal na si Joel and John John. And labandera si Flor dito sa Pilipinas bago siya pumunta sa Singapore noong 1988 para maging domestic worker. By the way, wala akong masyadong nabasa tungkol sa life and background ni Delia. Lahat ng mga article na nababasa ko ay tungkol sa death niya, date of birth niya, at saka nung edad niya nung nangyari itong krimen, which is she's 34 years old. Okay, balik tayo sa pagkasangkot ni Flor. Alam niyo yung saying na there are always two sides to every story? Well, I'm not really sure kung saying yan. Pero sa case na ito kasi, there are two versions nung hapon nung May 4, 1991. It said na pauwi si Delia sa Pilipinas. Not really sure kung for good na or vacation lang. Pero may isa ko na basa na vacation lang daw. And since friends sila ni Flor, nakipasabay si Flor ng mga pasalubong niya for her family dito kay Delia. Dahil nakaugalian na ito ng mga Filipinos abroad, lalo na ng mga OFW para makatipid. So pumunta si Flor sa bahay ng pinagtatrabahuhan ni Delia, dala yung parcel. And according sa version ng Singapore sa nangyari, tinanggihan raw ni Delia yung mga pasabay ni Flor. And thought to be deranged si Flor at that time, pinatay niya si Delia and si Nicolas. The Philippine version, however, suggests that during nung visit ni Flor, si Nicolas, the kid, na drowned daw siya sa pail of water dahil sa epileptic fit. Kaagad naman raw tinawagan ni Delia yung employer niya na si Wong Sing Kyong at pinauwi si Flor. Noong edad na nitong Wong napatay yung kanyang anak na si Nicolas, binugbog niya at sinakal niya si Delia sa galit. So ayan yung dalawang version nung dalawang bansa sa nangyari. Pero alin man yung totoo dyan sa dalawang version na yan, the next day, May 5, 1991, inaresto si Flor sa ng mga Singaporean police sa bahay ng amo niya. They questioned her dahil yung name and address niya ay nakasulat in the dead woman's diary. Pagkatapos ng interrogation, 2 days later, si Flor Contemplacion was charged for the 2 murders. Sa statement niya sa mga police at subsequent court testimonies, she admitted for the double murder at nagbigay ng detailed account of what really happened. She claimed na she felt ill bago yung pagpatay and she was not in control of herself habang ginagawa yung krimen. According kay Flor, nakaschedule daw ng pagbalik sa Pilipinas itong si Delia ng May 5, 1991. At nag-agree raw ito na tulungan siya sa pagpapadala ng mga pasalubong para sa pamilya ni Flor sa Pilipinas. At nag-agree raw ito na tulungan siya sa pagpapadala ng mga pasalubong habang nasa kusina si Delia doing some work. Kumuha raw ng elastic cord itong si Flor at inistrangle si Delia from behind. At pagkatapos, hinila niya yung katawan papuntang banyo kung saan nakita niya si Nicolas, yung bata, na naglalaro ng water. Tumayo siya sa likod ng bata at itinulak or isinubsob yung ulo nito sa timba na puno ng tubig. Tumigil lang siya nung hindi na gumagalaw si Nicolas. She then took some items na dadalhin sana ni Delia pauwi sa Pilipinas and then she left. Kaya pagka-uwi ng parents ni Nicolas from work that afternoon, nagtaka sila na walang sumalubong sa kanila and they found their 22-month-old daughter crying sa room ni Delia. Eventually, na-discover nila yung dead bodies ni Nicolas at Delia. They saw their son with his head in a pail of water while si Delia naman ay nakita sa tabi ni Nicolas with elastic cord sa kanyang leeg. Yung Pilipinas ay merong fact-finding and policy advisory commission for the protection of overseas Filipino workers, aka GANCAECO Commission, na nag-gather ng relevant evidence sa case na ito. Meron silang tatlong issue. Una, yung findings ng coroners sa katawan ni Delia. In the event of death kasi, the body of a Filipino migrant worker is usually sent back to the family through administration of the Philippine government's designated arm, which is the Overseas Workers Welfare Association or OWA. Pero in this case, yung katawan ni Delia was sent by her employer, which is very unusual ayon sa commission. After ng investigation ng coroner, merong inappoint na dalawang physician to perform separate autopsies sa exhumed body ni Delia after the direction of the Philippine National Bureau of Investigation. Yung procedure was requested by Delia's husband na si Conrado Maga kasi when the remains of his wife were repatriated sa bansa, napansin nila yung pasasaliig at balikat ng asawa niya. Both physician testified to the commission on the basis of extreme forensic medical experience that the contusions on Delia's body were extreme. Meron siyang fracture sa kanyang bungo, shoulder, and rib cage. Okay, bago tayo magpatuloy, gusto ko muna kayong tanungin mga kabetchang. Do you ever wonder how I create my podcast? Gusto nyo bang magsimula na rin ng sarili ninyong show at i-conquer ang podcasting world pero worried kayo sa recording, editing, at iba pang masasamang elemento na maaaring pumigil sa vibe ninyo? Well, worry no more, honey, dahil sobrang easy na mag-start ng podcast ngayon using Anchor. Libre lang sa Zay, at sa mismong app, you can already record and edit your podcast and publish it on various platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, at marami pang iba. As your gay detective, I can attest to the fact that Anchor is guilty for being the easiest way to make a podcast. So download it now on App Store, Play Store, or access it via the website www.anchor.fm for free. Anchor, everything you need to make a podcast. Now back to the episode. Their testimonies also maintained that Delia was still alive, though probably unconscious nung in-strangle siya with elastic cord. Considering her injuries were inflicted by a man or a strong woman. And then yung findings nila ay chinalenge ng Singapore. At nagkaroon ng third autopsy sa body ni Delia. Isinagawa ng mga Singaporean doctors na si Wee Kong Po and Chow Tse Cheng yung third autopsy sa katawan ni Delia at kinonfirm nila yung post-mortem report o yung unang autopsy na isinagawa ni Dr. Po at ginamit sa na evidence sa trial. Given how politically charged these contested findings were to become, merong tatlong American pathologists ang pinili ng Singapore and Philippine government para mag-conduct sa remains ni Delia. So another autopsy na naman mga inday. Alam mo yun, she was murdered and ilang beses inexhumed yung kanyang body, which is sobrang nakakapagod for and stressful for the families, 'di ba? Pero ito kasi yung process. So anyway, itong mga American pathologist na team confirmed the conclusion of Singaporean experts, contradicting the findings of Filipino physicians. Na ayon sa physicians ng Pinas, yung contusions daw had to have been inflicted by a larger person than Floor. Then the Gankayo Commission called for reopening of investigation, pero this was rejected by the authorities of Singapore. Ayun yung una. And then yung pangalawa naman ay yung absence of due process regarding legal counsel available to Floor nung nasa custody siya ng Singapore. Sabi ng commission, merong technical irregularities sa application ng Singapore law at lack of valid advice sa rights ni Floor. It was suggested that even if she committed the crime, the penalty of death was not merited. Sa report nila, si Flor Contemplacion Rao may have been wrongly advised by Elizabeth Buenso Seso or Buenso Queso na First Secretary and Consul General of the Philippine Embassy na umamin sa krimen at magkunwaring baliw to receive a lesser sentence. Sobrang weird dito sa akin na ganito yung ia-advise ng isang diplomat sa kapwa niya Pilipina. Like, actually, She, Seafloor, received minimal consular support from the Philippine Embassy sa Singapore at walang representative ang present during sa paglilitis. Overall, sa 4 na taong nakakulong ni Floor Contemplacion, 3 na beses lang siya binisita ng Philippine Embassy representatives. Sabi ng commission, walang records si Floor tungkol sa kanyang case sa records ng Philippine Embassy and they simply did not care. Yung Department of Foreign Affairs at Philippine Embassy sa Singapore only showed interest nung malapit na yung execution dahil na rin sa pressure ng mga Filipino. Anong ginagawa nyo? What? Nasaan ang priorities? At asaan ang sense of urgency? Anyway, yung pangatlo naman ay apparent coercion of confession under the condition of abuse and torture. Floor confessed to the crime, right? Sinabi niya lahat iyon in Tagalog sa authorities na trinanslate naman in English ni Aurora Nevaro, isang Philippine Embassy interpreter, and signed in the absence of lawyer. Merong 4 na separate signed statements na ginamit as primary evidence of her guilt leading to conviction. Despite the fact that Floor Contemplacion claimed na pinilit siya to confess without a lawyer's presence. Physically and mentally abused, katulad ng pag-drug sa kanya at pangungoryente para pirmahan niya yung mga statements. Sa isang statement kasi, she maintained na she was suffering from a strange illness kaya hindi siya in full control of herself. Itong argument na ito was supported by the commission's witness na si Virginia Parumog. Anyway, a short background lang kay Virginia. She had been sold into prostitution pagdating niya sa Singapore kahit na pagiging domestic worker ang pinunta niya ron. And then she had escaped at nakitira sa isang Singaporean family. Noong na-expire na yung visa niya, pinilit siya nung Singaporean woman kung saan siya nakikitira na pumunta sa Philippine Embassy. And then on her way there, hinuli siya ng Singaporean police for being an illegal resident in the country. Sa kulungan, doon niya nakilala si Floor. Ayon sa kanya, ikinento sa kanya ni Floor yung nangyari habang nakaposa sila on their respective beds. Sabi ni Floor na ayon dito kay Virginia, hindi niya daw pinatay si Delia at Nicolas. Naluna daw yung bata sa banyo at pagkarating ng amo ni Delia, she was strangled to death. At during the period from January 1992 and January 1993, napansin ni Virginia na pagdadalin daw ng prison guards itong si Floor sa trial niya, pinapainom daw siya ng capsule. Which according kay Floor na sinabi kay Virginia na it was a drug. Kaya raw parang disoriented at tulala itong si Floor pagbalik sa selda galing sa kanyang trial. Meron pang 2 other witnesses who came forward. 2 Pinay na nakakulong din sa Changi Prison na sina Alicia Vinson Mabulay at si Lucena Sungalia Sarceno. Nag-testify sila sa commission na narinig nilang sumisigaw at nagmamakaawa si Floor. And they stated na si Floor had been forced to take drugs and subjected to torture. Meron pang separate report na hindi galing sa commission 1 month after Floor Contemplacion execution, confirming the evidence of a forced confession. Yung report was sent anonymously, pero it was identified to be from Singapore Police Criminal Investigation Division. The report detailed torture and intimidation she experienced Floor experience habang nasa custody. She was allegedly told to confess some murder or she would be hanged. This suggestion is consistent with the advice Floor was alleged to have received with her Filipino government advocates and interpreters. Ayon sa informant, consistent daw ito katulad nun sa may Singapore Police practices. Nung tumanggi siya na mag-confess, she was placed in an aircon room at itinalis sa upuan habang nakahubad. She was not allowed to go to the toilet at doon na mismo siya rin siya umiihi. Hindi rin siya pinapatulog by pouring cold water at binabata siya ng ice tube kapag nakikitang nakatulog na siya. It took 5 days before Floor finally cracked. Pero the Singaporean police still had to have her drugged, shocked with electricity, raped by lower-ranking police, and hypnotized into admitting the crime in open court. May isang testimony from Emilia Frenilia, isang domestic worker din sa Singapore, whose employer at that time was Wong Huang Kiong, na kapatid ng amo ni Delia. Nag-testify si Emilia before the commission, saying na she overheard the conversation between the two brothers. She learned that itong amo ni Delia ang nag-strangle sa biktima dahil sa galit upon finding out his son, under the care of Delia, drowned in a pail of water. Yung government-appointed commissioners were compelled to arrive at the conclusion na biktima si Flor. Dahil there was no identification motive and no fingerprints found directly linking the accused to the crime. Moreover, according to Jerome Bailen, professor ng anthropology sa University of the Philippines, yung elastic cord that was used to strangle Delia must have been tied by a left-handed person. Pero si Flor was right-handed. By the way, nakalimutan ko ata sabihin na nag-start yung trial sa High Court noong January 26, 1993. Nung pangatlong araw, Flor claimed that her statements to the police had been obtained under duress. The next day, she chose to remain silent when her defense was called as the hearing drew to a close. And then yung judge found her guilty as charged and sentenced her to death. Nag-file siya ng 2 appeals pero nabigo na babaan yung sentensya niya. Her execution was set for March 17, 1995. Maraming Pilipino ang nagalit nung napabalita yung pagbitay. Which ang ironic lang dahil maraming Pilipino ang pro-death penalty. I'm looking at you. Anyway, may mga leftist and feminist groups katulad ng Migrante Philippines at Gabriela, mga media, and human rights activists. Hey, Betchangs! Want to start your own podcast pero worried about what goes through the production process? Girl, if hindi mo pa naririnig, may I share with you Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Just download it via the App Store, Play Store, or access it from the website www.anchor.fm for free. Tapos meron na silang creation tools doon that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right away. You also don't have to worry about the distribution on different platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and others dahil Anchor will do the job for you. Now back to the episode. Denounce Singapore as barbaric, tyrannical, and totalitarian state with no respect for human rights. And meron pang mga protesters ang nagsunog ng Singaporean flag during a rally sa harap ng Malacanang. Noong January 1995, yung Philippine president at that time na si Fidel Ramos wrote to Singapore's then president Ong Teng Cheong na nagre-request siya ng clemency on humanitarian grounds. Ong turned down the request, explaining that there were no justifying circumstances. Yung petition din ni Flor for presidential clemency, also submitted noong January 1995, was rejected at the same time. Nagsulat ulit si Ramos to Ong 6 days before the execution, pero this time asking for stay in execution for the light of new evidence. Na prinubayad ng isang Filipino domestic worker na si Emilia Frenilia, remember? Pero si Ong turned down Ramos' appeal dahil yung allegations daw were found baseless. And then nung execution day na, March 17, 1995, 6 a.m. yun ng Friday, she was hanged. Nung gabi before her execution, sabi ni Flor, she was ready to die after final pleas for clemency had been rejected. And then nagpasalamat yung Philippine Foreign Secretary sa effort ng mga Filipino trying to save Flor. Pero ang sabi ni Flor, if the stay of execution will only delay the carrying out of her sentence, she preferred to have an early end to everyone's suffering instead. Flor was visited in Changi Prison by her children, isang 21-year-old son, 17-year-old daughter, at 15-year-old twin boys who had last seen their mother noong 1989. Pero yung husband niya na si Efren did not visit her because, and I quote, "I could not bear to see her and not be able to touch her or embrace her after 7 years," end quote. Yung katawan ni Flor Contemplacion was later released and was flown back to Manila na sinalubong nung asawa ni Ramos na si First Lady Amelita Ramos sa Ninoy Aquino International Airport noong March 19. From there, the body was carried from the airport to San Pablo and thousands of Filipino lined up the route to have a glimpse dahil nakikita nila si Flor as a martyr and heroine. Nagkaroon ng misa sa bayan nila na dinaluhan ng maraming tao, and si Bishop Teodoro Bacani, ang sabi sa sermon niya, in a quote, "She is a symbol of millions of Filipinos driven by poverty to take their chances abroad. Their own government neglect them," end quote. Yung aftermath ng pangyayaring ito turned the relationship of Singapore and the Philippines soured. There were calls to boycott Singapore products and nakatanggap din ng threats yung mga Singaporean sa embassy. Sa takot, maraming Singaporean na nagtatrabaho sa Pilipinas ang umalis for their safety. Si Ramos even threatened to sever diplomatic ties with Singapore. He even sacked the previous ambassador to Singapore na si Francisco Benedicto at sinuspend yung ambassador at that time na si Alicia Ramos. Si Philippine Foreign Secretary Roberto Romulo naman resigned, taking responsibility for what the public viewed as failure to safeguard Flor's interests. Yung resignation niya ay sinundan naman ni Labor Secretary Nieves Confessor. Maraming Filipino believe that Flor Contemplacion was innocent or at least insane, blaming the Singaporean government for lack of compassion and the Philippine government for not doing enough. Regardless kung innocent or guilty si Flor Contemplacion, makikita natin kung gaano kawalang opportunity yung mga manggagawang Pilipino sa sarili nilang bansa. They have to leave the country to support their family. Also, yung inhumane, abusive, and exploitative conditions ng maraming Filipino domestic workers and laborers na kinakaharap nila sa ibang bansa. Sobrang vulnerable ng mga OFWs, lalo na sa mga racist countries. Yung sakripisyo ng mga overseas Filipino workers ay malaking bagay dahil they help big time sa ekonomiya ng Pilipinas. Dahil pagdating sa kanilang remittances, nagko-contribute sila ng 9% of the country's gross domestic product or GDP. Yet parang hindi enough yung ginagawa ng government to support and protect them. Yung failure ng Philippine Embassy and yung mga staff ng Philippine Government's Overseas Workers Welfare Administration, Department of Foreign Affairs, and Department of Labor and Employment ay kitang-kita sa case na ito. Also, huwag natin kalimutan si Fidel Ramos sa pagiging complacent at incompetent. Lahat sila ay isang malaking failure. Anyway, that same year, nagkaroon ng Republic Act 8042, otherwise known as Migrants Worker and Overseas Filipino Act of 1995. This act further improved the standard of protection and promotion of the welfare of migrant workers, their families, and overseas Filipino in distress and other purposes. Noong 2020 lang, merong nearly 5,000 cases of maltreatment ng overseas Filipino workers ang recorded during a Senate Labor Committee hearing. Yung chairman of committee presented a figure from Philippine Overseas Labor Offices, which showed that in the Middle East alone, there were 4,302 abuse ang recorded a year before. Sa Asia, merong 593 cases ng maltreatment ang recorded, habang 86 naman na incident ang recorded sa Amerika and Europe. The Polo or Philippine Overseas Labor Office data also included the numbers of contract violations committed sa mga OFWs, total to 23,714, majority of which were reported in Middle Eastern countries. Yung chairman ng committee ang sabi, and I quote, "Yung passport confiscation hanggang ngayon sa Lebanon buhay na buhay. The employer has the right to confiscate the passport or identification card of their migrant worker." Dagdag pa niya, quote-unquote, "Kung pupuntahan ng ating mga kababayan ay may patakarang kagaya nito, then it's somehow impossible for us to protect our kababayans. However, only 113 OFWs will seek help due to threats, fear, shame na mawalan ng trabaho, or walang makinig sa kanila, or hindi sila paniwalaan. Overwhelmed din sila sa information from various sources, making it hard for them to get concrete guidance sa kaso nila. Isa pa, yung financial costs are at stake bukod sa threats from their employer and agencies to blacklist them. Sometimes, their own families put a pressure on them to continue working to sustain on their lifestyle. After this case, may mga movies na lumabas sa bansa, each purporting to tell the real story. Pero yung real story talaga dito ay yung nagtulak sa mga kababayan natin na lisanin yung bansa nila para mamasukang katulong sa ibang lugar. Which is, ding-ding-ding, kahirapan na sanhi ng pag-exploit at pag-loot ng mga imperialist countries at ng mga nagaharing uri sa Pilipinas. And as a poor nation, noticeable na we seem to be a frequent victims ng mga wealthy employers na to worldwide. Anyway, that is the MAGA contemplation case. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. My thoughts on this, alam nyo, ang hirap, oo. Parang possible kasi yung argument na nalunod yung bata, si Nicolas. Dahil epileptic and sa galit ng tatay, pinatay niya si Delia at isinisi yung krimen kay Flor. And it makes her a victim of systemic injustice. Sa kabilang banda naman, yung reason na pagtanggi ni Delia sa pasabay ni Flor na nag-result sa pagpatay sa dalawang biktima ay hindi ko alam. I find it lame, personally and honestly. Dahil, come to think of it, 7 years na nandun si Flor sa Singapore and meron siyang mga anak, pamilya na binubuhay sa Pilipinas to risk it all, right? Tsaka anong motive? Nagnakaw ba siya? Tsaka nagtago? Also, dun sa investigations, kung maaalala nyo, walang fingerprints na nakita. So, it doesn't make any sense. Well, mga kabetsyang, mahirap itong case na ito ha, nakakaloka. And yung gay detective card ko has been revoked, kaya naman ipapasa ko sa inyo ang tanong. Tingin nyo ba ginawa niyo yung krimen or she was made to take the blame? Let me know sa comment section below. Oo, pag-usapan natin yan. I-share niyo lahat ng mga nararamdaman niyo, mga saloobin niyo sa comment section below or tag me sa Twitter, sa Instagram, sa mga IG stories, sa Facebook, or whatnot. And let's continue the conversation. So that's it for me today. Thank you so much for watching. As always, please keep safe and healthy. And I'll see you guys on my next video. Bye!